Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is, this is Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. And today's reading, we are reading from the Big Book. We're going to be looking at the appendices in the back of the Big Book on page 567. It's a spiritual experience. And Lois is going to read that in its entirety and unpack that for us today, and that's what we're going to be able to share on. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H., the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. Reading the text today in support is Lois P., Brandy M., Dana P. Dennis PM is going to get newcomers and sponsor contact information, and to wrap up the meeting is going to be Robin P. with some announcements here, what's happening here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for this meeting, that would be for yesterday, March 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. That share ID number is 16666, 16666. And then today at the 7 a.m. meeting, we've already had one this morning. That share ID number for Tuesday, March 30th, 2021 is 16670, 16,670 for the 7 a.m. meeting. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Terry H., would you please press star 1? Terry H., would you please press star 1?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
I love this stuff. I'm Terry H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time. Thank you for your service. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. At 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to the practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service in March. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R., a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you so much for allowing me to do service in March.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. Back at you. Appreciate that. That's Rhonda R. from Georgia. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and just be mindful of the idea that you will be immediately muted if it looks like you're unmuted at all ever on the line. That's the way the system works here, so that you're prepared for that. Today, we resume our study on the Big Book. We're going to keep with the asterisk found at the end of paragraph 2, page 47, and we will be following that to page number 567, appendix 2, titled A Spiritual Experience. In reading that in its entirety today, Lois P. will unpack that particular writing and share her recovered experience with that and with us, and then after that, we'll open up to the general reading in the general audience today. Lois P., thank you. Good morning. It's your turn.
Good morning. Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. So, let's start with contempt prior to investigation. As I went through my life, and I was brought up in a traditional religious atmosphere, and when I hit my teens and went on to college, I had an arrogance about me. I studied philosophy and other things. I was searching for the answer to life. But I had an actual contempt and an aversion to the traditional religion that I was brought up in. And I think that in the course of my efforts to run my own life and to find the answers to my own life, this inner contempt that was very subtle, and I really wasn't that conscious of it, but it was a belligerence and arrogance where I thought I knew better, and somehow, you know, I was brighter than whoever created this universe because I saw the mess that I interpreted as the world. That really stood in my way, and it kept me in relapse, a relapse from the truth, where my life became one of outward success and then failure because I'd end up always binging, always hurting myself, always in that dark place within myself, thinking that I knew what I was doing. And it had come from this contempt, this belligerence, and truly this arrogance, thinking that I knew what was really going on in this world, in this universe. And this experience, the spiritual experience, as it says here, can happen suddenly when we have a moment of awakening, of enlightenment, and we go, oh, God, I understand. For this moment, I see the beauty, the perfection, everything. For that moment, whether it's looking at your, you know, into the eyes of your newborn child or a spectacular vista when you're hiking, for that moment when your mind stops and you're at one with that supreme power, that can be a sudden spiritual experience where you are in touch, where I have been in touch with that God consciousness. But it takes time. It took time for me for the doors to open, for me to listen time and again to people in recovery who were not just in recovery from food or the addiction to food, but they're in recovery from the spiritual blindness that I had been living in, even though I thought I was so smart and spiritually connected, that spiritual blindness that I'd been living in most of my life. And here it says that it can be gradual, and it has been both for me. There have been sudden moments, as I'm sure you all can identify with, that there's been that beautiful awareness that everything is just fine. But then life comes in, and then we trudge along, and this is what's happened to me. There's been a slow, gradual awakening of the reality that there is something so much greater that is a part of my beingness. And when I get out of my mind and I stay in my heart and I trust that everything is perfect, even the struggles, even the terrible things, all of that somehow is perfect. When I surrender to that, heaven opens. And it can be every day, if I choose to walk through that door of surrender, that heaven exists moment to moment. And I thank God for this program because that has helped me to get to where I am at the moment. So thank you so much for the opportunity to have shared on this. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lois P. Thank you so much. And Lois P. is from New York. I'd like to open the lines now for additional comments on page 567, The Spiritual Experience. If you're interested in doing so, chiming in here this morning, I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state as well, if you'd like. Press star one to unmute. And although we like to say that we value all of your experience, it's very important that we hear from each and every one of you. If you've shared recently or within the last 3 days, we ask that you wait and let somebody else come up and share this morning. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, then probably tomorrow would be your day to share again. Okay, I'm ready. Thank you.
Ann B., New York.
Ann B.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Nina F.,
Courtney
California.
C. Nina F., Courtney. Like Sam?
Yes.
Sam, like, okay. Courtney, yeah?
Courtney, in Florida. Thanks.
Okay, from Florida. Okay, great. Thank you. Gotcha. Anybody else this morning?
Robin B.
Oh, hi, Robin. Okay. Okay, let's go with that lineup just so we can grab up all time that's kind of bleeding away there. So we have Ann B., Janice P.M., Nina S., Courtney C., and Robin P. Hi, Ann. Good morning.
Hi, I'm...
Ann, do you want to press star one again? Looks like we got a problem there.
You can't, okay, can you hear me now?
Yep, you did good. You did good. I think it was just a technical problem. Go ahead, start from the beginning here if you wouldn't mind. Thank you.
Okay, hi, I'm Ann B. I live in New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been absent for 16 years. And this section is interesting for me because I am one of those people who had a sudden spiritual experience. And it's always a challenge to me in dealing with sponsees because they didn't. And it is reassuring to hear that they can have a gradual experience. And I have seen that sometimes people over a period of time acquire more willingness and more diligence to do this. And, you know, that's encouraging. A lot of times it seems as a sponsor that newcomers are really tourists and they aren't willing to do this. And they have to kind of go out and experiment some more before they can come back and really apply themselves. It's interesting because I've heard some people claim that others don't get recovery because they're lazy. And I don't think that's fair. I think for me, it was a lot easier because I had a history of spiritual experiences. I just never tried to use them for this purpose. And I am very curious about this business of why is it easier for some people than for other people to have a spiritual experience? But it is certainly reassuring that it can happen slowly for me as a sponsor because, you know, it's hard for, you know, I tell them what I did. I went and prayed in my kitchen between the sink and the refrigerator and I was struck abstinent. and they go and stand between their sink and their refrigerator and their kitchen, and they are not struck abstinent. But then other people in program do tell me, you know, yeah, it worked for them to do it gradually. So that's encouraging. But so far, but it is as a sponsor frustrating. So that for me, I was a person with a sudden experience. So I will pass.
Thank you very much. Ann B. from New York. Janice P. M. from Massachusetts. You're up next, and then Anna comes after you.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just get that other phone that's ringing in our ears, and my voice will come on. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And I love this this spiritual experience essay. And, you know, I think that when we first come in, we want to identify with Bill. And Bill had that, you know, like a lightning bolt. He had it in the hospital. But, you know, it took me, this is just my experience, a long time to get awake. That's just what happened. I didn't choose it. This is just what happened to me because I kept rejecting, you know, what people said, what I was supposed to do. I would recoil. I would be smart, you know, big shot. And it took me a while to awake. But, you know, once God gave me that spiritual awakening through these 12 steps, this is just for me. That's why the 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening. This is guaranteed. It really, truly is guaranteed once we do the work. And, you know, when I sponsor, I just ask them to go through this first page and see the word change or any word that means change. And, you know, I came in this program because I wanted to change. Of course, I wanted to change my body. But I found more than that. I found that I really needed to change my personality in order to be honest, to be willing, and to be, most important, you know, open-minded to other people's ideas and experiences. So the word change is so important in this particular essay. And, you know, it's a slow, you know, and it doesn't matter. We still have a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening is a spiritual awakening. One isn't better than the other, and Bill uses those words interchangeably. And it's a reaction to life. It's so different. You know, it's so different. And, of course, I was intolerant of anybody that's ideas that were different from mine because I knew everything. And I was belligerent in denial. And, you know, I love what Herbert Spencer teaches me. He says that the principle, the rule, which is a bar is like you're in prison, like I was in prison against all information. Oh, if you told me one thing, you know. Which is proof. It's proof against all arguments which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting what? Not knowing. That's what ignorance is. We don't know what we don't know. And I still thought I knew. Imagine.
Time.
And yes, and thank you. And that's contempt, which is intolerance, belligerent, combative, fighting the attitude to really try this thing. Step two in these steps. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Janice PM. Janice is from Massachusetts. Nina S. from California, and then Courtney will follow.
Thank you. Nina S. from Northern California, compulsive overeater. Thank you for all your service this morning. I love this passage in the big book. It's just packed full of so much information. But the things that I heard and that were stuck out this morning was the educational variety and then the belligerent denial. So when I think about the educational variety or, you know, versus the struck to abstinence, I was struck to abstinence in a different program. And in this program, it's been an educational variety. But without that, you know, that spiritual experience, there's no way that I would have been able to get to this addiction, and which is my true core addiction around food and self-harm. That other program was absolutely based in self-harm as well, but it was from one day to the next that I put it down and walked away from it. But that just allowed all this other work to come forward. So I'm grateful for that. And, you know, as I work these steps continuously to stay abstinent and to have some kind of serenity and peace in my life, I remember the first time that I sat at the end of my bed at step 11 and said the prayers that my sponsor told me and felt the overwhelming presence of God in my life. And it was the first time since I was a young child. I grew up in a pretty religious family, and we left the church when I was 7 years old. And I hadn't felt anything like that since I was a small child, very, very small child in my house. And I was blown away that the fact that I could tap into that. And so when I think about it for my food addiction now and being able to have this resource, as long as I'm not trying to, as it says here, defeat myself because of my own intolerance or my own belligerent denial, which for me, my belligerent denial is that arrogance and anger and superiority complex that I know best and that I think I should run the show and that I'm my own employer, then I have that ability to access it. And you know, I was listening to a meeting last night, and it talked about being in the present and how to stay present in your body. And so different people had different suggestions on what they do on how to stay out of fantasy and how to stay grounded in their body. And that's something that I have to work on in meditation, and have to, it's not staying out of the clouds. It's just trying to live, actually. It's like living life on life's terms in my own body. What a concept. And not just, excuse me, escaping all the time. I wanted to escape, though, because I never had a reason to stay in my body. It wasn't very comfortable to stay in it. So now with this God conscious, I have hope, so much hope in these paragraphs. And only I can defeat myself with this belligerent attitude of intolerance. And I love that we have the spiritual principles to live by.
Time.
Of tolerance and kindness and love. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Nina S. from California. Just want folks to know that in 6 minutes after the next two shares, we're going to open up the lines again for comment on the entire reading of the spiritual experience on page 567. If you're so inclined or have a piece of that you'd like to share about, we'd love to hear from you if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. But for now, let's take a listen to Courtney C. from Florida, followed up with Robin P. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, thank you. I'm Courtney, and a compulsive overeater, abstinent and grateful for today, and it's been a great meeting. I've never shared on Vision before. It's my first time. So I wanted to share on this one in particular my experience of a spiritual awakening, spiritual experiences. I'm definitely of the educational variety. And, you know, as I've grown in program and I've looked more deeply at my experiences, I'm not as harsh on myself about how long it's taken me to open up my mind, because I realized that I was brought up in an environment that really taught me to fear any kind of religious or spiritual beliefs that contradicted the religious and spiritual beliefs that I was taught were the only way to God. It was really hammered into me, both through my family and through the religious institutions that I was brought up in, that there was only one way and that the other ways were evil. And, you know, I rejected that as a teenager, but it was like there was a consequence of those years and years of that. It was like, even though, like, in my conscious mind, I knew that wasn't right, like I intuitively knew that it wasn't right, there was still a lot of fear and I think trauma, spiritual trauma that I underwent in my childhood. And it's really taken years for me and a lot of experimentation with different approaches to spirituality. When I first came into OA, all I could do was close my eyes and be quiet. Like that, that was, and I couldn't even call it meditation because meditation was too foreign and scary for me. So that's all I did, you know, and I started having these experiences. And so the way that I've been taught is that spiritual experience is different from a spiritual awakening. And what happened for me is that I, through practicing the steps and, you know, taking the suggestions of the sponsor and other recovered people in the program, I started to like string together these spiritual experiences where my mind was opened up and I was taught that, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what this is. And I'm going to be honest, to this day, I still don't know what it is. And when I think I know what it is, my spiritual connection with it suffers. So I like try to just accept that I might not ever know exactly what it is, but I'm so grateful to experience it. But yeah, I started stringing together these spiritual experiences until, you know, at a certain point, I started to realize that I was looking for that spiritual source more and more and more because I had come to believe that I could trust it. I had come through experience. I had come to have faith that this, whatever this was, that it could really help me and it could really, thank you, and it could really improve my life. So that's how I think of my spiritual awakening. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. That's Courtney C. from Florida. Robin T., you're up next, and then we're going to open up the lines right after your share, Robin. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks so much for your amazing service. God bless everybody. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, this program was my bridge to God. I was raised an atheist, and I just saw God in the walls and ran out for a while. And someone said, just good, orderly direction, any power greater than your addiction to food. And food was my God. I went to food for everything. And it never worked. You know, it was still that God-shaped hole that the food, no matter how much food I put in it, it never filled it up. And I just had two problems instead of one. And no matter what was going on. And it's such a definition of insanity, being that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. Because if it had worked, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, it opened me up, and I prayed one day. I got on my knees out in the middle of I was in Sedona, Arizona, before it became the cool place. I was touring, and in 1984, May 1st, 1984, and I got on my knees, and I just said, God, if you exist, please show me your will and help me to do it. And just thing after thing after thing happened, including a voice, and a very powerful experience. I asked, and I got an answer, and that was my beginning of my relationship with God. It took me a while to get back in the program, and I've been gratefully asking him for 5 years. In this wonderful vision from you, I'm so eternally grateful. And, you know, I just love that it says here, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. You know, I had a very profound spiritual awakening, and every day I still get to have a new awakening every day when I wake up. I still get to practice these principles in all my affairs. I still get to stay honest, open, and willing, working the steps, being of service to God and my fellows. Every day, I still get to act as if, you know, every day is a life unto its own, and I get to live spiritually fit. And so even though I've had these profound experiences, I still, every day, get to take those incremental steps towards recovery, practicing the steps and the tools and 10 steps, living in 10, 11, and 12, I'm so grateful. You know, I learned how to live as a human being because I didn't have a clue. And this gave me my roadmap to who I was meant to be. So God bless everybody. It was a very blessed afternoon day. I'm so glad to be with all of you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin P. She's in Florida now, but she's from Mexico. Excellent. Okay, so folks, the lines are now open for additional comments on page 567, which is the spiritual experience, appendix 2. If you'd like to share on that, I'd love to take your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state as well. But I want to remind everybody that, you know, we do value everybody's experience here, but we'd like for you to limit your share to every third day so that others might be able to share as well. So I'm ready to take about four or five more people.
Brandy M.
Barbara
Sherry
W. KB. Hang on just a second. KB, I'm going to go slow here. And that's from California. I heard of Barbara W., but I heard somebody before Barbara W.
Brandy M.
Brandy M., that's what it was. And I got Barbara W.
And Barbara N.
Barbara N., too. Okay.
Laura R.
Laura R. Let's go with that and see where we end up then, okay, folks? We'll probably have time for one, but let me go with that to be safe. Sherry KB, Brandy M., Barbara W., Barbara N., and Laura R. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service. Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. And thank you, Team Tuesday. I wish we could take this whole section and just unpack it paragraph by paragraph, but we can't. Anyhow, I just want to dive right in and talk about that overwhelming God consciousness, how important that is. It's talking about the change. You know, it's all about change and rearrangement. I remember when somebody told me, Sherry, there's only one thing you need to change. And I went, what? And they said, everything. You need to change everything, Sherry. And then also here when it talked about a profound alteration in the reaction to life and to change that, I could hardly do that by myself. It talks about taking a few months to do this. So to me, it's talking about the steps directly, that it takes the steps, 2 months or so to actually do the steps, not reading the book, but doing the step work. That's where I get that from, that I think is so important. And it talks about how the conception of a power greater than myself, well, you know, I have to put the food down first, because being a compulsive overeater, My memory, you know, I have a built-in forgetter, so I need to put down the food first, get into the step work, and then get unbroken, which means by having a spiritual experience is building that bridge to my higher power. I also like when it talks about how we have this unsuspected inner resource. And if you look on page 287 and 288, it talks about the difference between religion and spirituality, and that I can have my own conception, how important that is, and my convictions with this. And that makes it different, because it opens up a path for me where I used to fill the food in. It's that lonely hole in my soul that I fill it up with a higher power, the steps, and living a different type of lifestyle than I did before. So grateful for that. And then also it talks about openness, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And I, you know, have been working the steps again, and I'm learning about the prayers of how, of honesty, asking God to help me to be honest with myself and with God, and to keep an open mind to God, and to do things differently, and help me to be willing to be willing. This changes a lot of things for me, and I love this. And contempt prior to investigation. It doesn't say contempt prior to no investigation, so it's telling me, Sherry, don't be a know-it-all. Be teachable. Stay open to continue to learn and grow. And there's such beauty here in this spiritual experience. And without my higher power, I could not do this. I cannot do this alone. And it is a new design for living. And it always works in rough goings. That's what I've learned, too. It's a new way of being connected to that inner resource, that tapping within myself, which is where my higher power lives, that I can change the way I look at things and grow, and through doing the step work and continually doing the step work is what changes it for me. Thanks, Melanie, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Sherry KB from Northern California. Brandy M. from Canada, you're up next, and then Barbara W. will follow you. Barbara W. will follow you.
Hi, it's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. Thank God for this chapter. Because it normalizes what I've been through with my recovery and, trying to stay clean in this disease. It talks about here about like the educational variety and, you know, what that means to me today, that, you know, I needed to go out and experience a lot of different things before I was able to come back and actually be like, okay, my answer to everything in my life today is God, you know. And before it was, you know, I was still seeking other things as my higher power to help me be what I didn't want to be anymore. And, you know, it talks about the personal change and, you know, how our alteration in our reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about myself. Like, you know, I for years and years and years, I just wanted to be different than how I was being. You know, I was miserable. I was unkind to people. I wasn't helpful. I was selfish. I lived in fear and, you know, and very self-seeking. Like, you know, that self-centeredness to the extreme was definitely me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I realized today I could have never changed that by myself. I was powerless over that behavior, just like I was powerless over the food. And, you know, it took me a long time to get to the point of, oh, wait, like God needs to be my answer here because like my ways aren't working. But the educational variety that I think that I am, I needed to see and I needed to, you know, get that much worse in order to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to listen. I'm actually going to listen. And that's kind of the way that I learned in school too. Like, you know, I thought I knew everything until, you know, I became closer to an adult and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, I don't know everything. But my disease showed up that way. My disease showed up like it knew everything. And today it's like, I need to set aside what I think I know and put aside my prejudice as to what God is and what God looks like. And, you know, just see it in the small moments in my life today. And, you know, God is everywhere. God is within me and works through me. I was definitely not the person who was struck, you know, abstinent and struck, healed, and, you know, God was there. I had to, you know, go through a lot of trials and tribulations in program and, you know, continue to die in these rooms, until I found God over a year and a half ago and have been abstinent ever since. And, you know, to me, that's like, it's just such a miracle in itself that's even my story today. But I would not have been able to do that on my own. And, you know, when they talk about intuitive thinking, like, you know, how before I had to think about my reactions in certain situations, and today I don't need to think about it. Like, my intuition now is to be kind. My intuition now is to shut my mouth and think about what I'm going to say before I say it. Thanks. And, you know, with all those things, that is God. That's God doing for me what I can't do for myself. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. from Alberta, Canada. Next up is Barbara W. from Washington, and then Barbara N. will follow you.
Good morning, and thank you, Melanie, for your service. And thank you for all of you on the line this morning. Boy. Spiritual experience, mine was definitely, has been the educational variety. I think of Dr. Bob. And interesting enough, my father's name was Bob. But my talk about coming over time, I literally probably took my first footsteps in a mainline religion, which was, to me, it was a safe place. I remember sitting in church and feeling so safe, despite my challenges throughout my childhood with my parents. And the older I got, the more things I questioned. And I remember a friend of mine saying, who was raised a certain religion, she would say, Barbara, you know, open your mind a little bit, kind of thing. And I was thinking that of myself. And my mother raised me well to go with diversity and open thinking. And lo and behold, that's exactly what I did. And despite, I've been on my own now as a single woman for 30 years, and I've had endless opportunities to explore what higher power, what God means to me in my life. And I'd say within the last 2 years, and I've been in program over 43 years, and I'd say within the last 2 years, I have come to know a spiritual awakening and like I've never known before. It's like this sense of calm. I'll find myself stopping and pausing automatically without even thinking and checking in with God and drawing the strength and drawing the wisdom and drawing the right words or the silence. I love to talk. And so my experience has been, in my old age, here I am with this genuinely loving, strong, compassionate feeling towards my higher power, and feeling that reciprocation. It's like every morning I wake up and I have the opportunity to draw on that faith, to draw on that strength of God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Barbara N. next. I didn't catch your state. Barbara N., are you still there?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I sure can. There you go.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
Barbara.
Yeah, I'm Barbara N. from North Fort Myers, Florida, originally from Delaware. I joined the program about 21 years ago. And growing up in a certain faith, we the family, believed in God, went to synagogue, kind of went through all the motions. And I would pray at night, the same prayer pretty much every night. But looking back, I never had a personal relationship with a God or higher power. And I'm now speaking here on Vision for You for the first time, so hopefully I make some sense. But in 1999, I was hospitalized, and I was praying, and I can't explain it, came over me, a deep feeling and a personal relationship to the God I was praying to. And when I came out of the hospital, I was very, just felt very different. And that was my spiritual experience starting. And it led me, like the next week or so, into the OA program because I had tried everything else. So I tell people that the first thing that I received of the three-legged stool, as they say, is the spiritual experience. And if I had not received that, looking back again, I probably wouldn't even be in this meeting today. So the spirituality is very important to me. Since then, I have converted to another religion and even feel stronger about God and my personal relationship. And I really enjoy this type of meeting. A friend from OA had told me to go on a Vision to You, and I had no idea what it was. So I'm glad to be here, and I hope to come back. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara N. Appreciate your time. She's from Florida. Question for today will be Laura R. from Colorado. You're up, Laura.
Great.
Probably
great.
For
Thank
2 minutes,
so
Laura.
From the Sounds good.
Time, right?
Okay, great. Just cut me off if I keep talking. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I am so grateful. I'm just thinking about, one, I'm grateful to be a member of OA and just a part of this group. It is so cool to be, to listen to all you, even though I don't know you all, but just to hear your voices, it makes my morning so much better. And even when I get to listen to the recording meetings as well, if I don't get the lives, I'm just grateful to be amongst all of you. And gosh, you know, I'm so glad I haven't given up. You know, I'm so glad that I keep coming back. You know, I'm so glad I've stayed even when I wasn't successful. You know, when I was maybe, you know, taking my will back or not putting down the food, because
I am able today, and it's funny, 10 years ago, right now my family's walking through an experience with my stepson, and 10 years ago we were walking through the same experience, and who I was then and who I am now, what God has transformed me into who I am today blows me away. And I am able, 10 years later, I am able to see that I'm not the same woman. And even though I have 1 year of abstinence in this program, a little over 1 year, it is remarkable at who, and I truly believe it's because everything is down. I mean, if I didn't have the food down, it would be a whole other story. And, you know, when things crop up right now and I want to be selfish, I'm able to go to a fellow and first pray and then go to a fellow and, okay, here's where I'm selfish. Here's where I'm fearful. Here's this. Because I do not want to blow up my family, and that is what I did 10 years ago. And I am talking blow up. My husband's still traumatized by how I showed up in our relationship back then. And this is a time to not be selfish. You know, my autistic kiddo, he's home, you know, from 10 years ago, he left to an institution, and now he went to another one just recently, and he's just so violent that they had to let him go. Thank you. And now I get to be of service to him and to my husband and my family. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry that your time wasn't as long as it could have been. Thank you so much for your share, Laura R. from Colorado. It's time to close the recorded portion of the meeting today. Thanks so much for everyone that was in service today, and the shares were just absolutely profound and phenomenal. Grateful for that. But as we close up, I'd like to ask Brandy M. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll scoot over to say the Serenity Prayer at the unrecorded hour. So continue to join us to the top of the hour. We have 10 more minutes to go. Hi, Brandy. Thank you.
Hi, Melanie. Melanie, what page again? Oh, I think I got it. No.
Page? Oh, okay. Good. 164.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man that is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to a happy destiny. May God bless you and